Okay, first of all, Mrs. Jones, could you tell us a little bit about your early life, your childhood, where you were born?
I was born in Mississippi, at a place they call Lexington, about 65 miles to south of Jackson, Mississippi.
Could you tell me about your childhood, what kind of things you did when you were younger, your parents?
Well, my parents was Christian parents, and I did attend church at an early age, you know. So that was one thing that we had to do, and we always had family prayer in the home.
Could you tell me when you came to Champaign?
It was back in the early 40s. It's on the thing, 41.
Why did you decide to come to Champaign?
Well, see, my husband was connected here in the aviation field, and so he was transferred from Chicago. I came from Chicago here. We were living in Chicago at the time, and so I came down to be, you know, to live with him because the paying rent, you know, in both places was kind of hard. That's why I came to Champaign.
Could you tell me a little bit about your education? What kind of schools? When did you go to school?
Well, I went to school in the South, and of course, it was different things that I was in. Of course, I finished high school and went into the nursing field, which my instructor said I was very good in that because he said that I was gifted in the field of caring for sick people. He would send me on cases, you know, that the nurses that was over me were supposed to have gone, but they didn't care, you know, to do the work for a sick person that should be done, but I didn't mind it because I always wanted to help someone. But my mother, she couldn't never understand why that I wanted to go in the nursing field, but I always wanted to help someone.
Where did you go to nursing?
I went to a Utica non-industrial store.
Was it Mississippi?
No, Utica, Mississippi.
Oh, then Utica?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you tell me a little about your past employment, where you worked?
Well, I worked in the hospital while I was there, caring for sick, and then I went to Chicago. There I worked in a doctor's office, and then I got married and I came down here a few years after.
What did you work here?
I was an elevator operator. My husband, he was an instructor at Shum Air Force Base, and he went overseas, and then because I had a daughter, you know, I had to take care of her. But he didn't want me working outside the home, but I worked anyway. I'm kind of, you know, keeping these feelings so lonely.
Is that the only place you work? Where
are you
living? Where are you living? Where's the elevator?
Abandoned Lincoln Hotel.
Lincoln Hotel?
Mm-hmm.
It's not here anymore?
Yeah, it's in Abandon.
It's still here in Abandon?
Mm-hmm.
Are you involved in organizations for Champaign or clubs?
Oh, yeah. The most important thing that you can name I am, you know, I visit the sick and shut in. I visit the hospitals. And I try to cherish people. And the main purpose is to be with the older people, you know, because I find out that they are so lonely and seem like the people of today don't understand what lonely and lonesome is. They think you'd be lonesome when you're lonely, because it's different in the two. The reason why I know, because I have been both of them. I was lonesome when I lost my husband, and then I was lonely after he was gone.
What church do you belong to?
I belong to Salem Church. Oh yes, about the organizations. I didn't finish talking about that. I belong to, if it's on the paper there, I belong to the, I used to belong to the coffee group, but we disbanded the coffee group of Champaign. And I belong to the CCCs, that's the Concerned Citizens of Champaign Urbana. And I would go into the school, not only me, but the organization, different ones would go into the school and see what the problem was, because if I found out that so many mothers is working. See, most people think that black people don't care for their children, but they really love them. But they don't have the time to devote to their children like they want to. And then I would go in and fill in for them, because they would be on the job. They had the hard jobs of working, you know. And by the time that they would come home, then the children home, then they had to prepare meals for them. They couldn't listen to what Johnny had to say, because they were tired, trying to get them prepared to go to school the next morning. And I found out there's so many problems in the schools that parents do not understand. They need to come together more with the teachers and the principals of the schools. But see, when I was coming up, that's one thing that I gathered from my father. He was there at all the time. I didn't know that he was coming, but yet he was on scene. The teacher wouldn't know he was coming, but he was on scene. And I find out it's just something that's instilled in me that I want to know for myself when they say something about it that's wrong, that's the reason why. I try to go to these different things, you know, so I can understand it, because what you get out of it might not mean a thing to me, but I want to get it out for myself. And that way, through the Concerned Citizen Organization, we broke down a lot of hard feelings of the students. The students that they said bad, I find out, it's not the student all the time, but it's the teachers that cannot cope with a lot of children's problems. And that's what you have to get down to earth in every way. Mothers and fathers, they have to do the same thing. If you're a person in your community, you have to get down with your community. If you're in the church, you can't just be in one place in the church. You got to be in the church with every individual in the church. What I mean by that, you got to know how to be with the pastor, you got to know how to be with the mothers, the deacons, and you got to know how to be with the people in the pew, and least but not all, you got to know how to cope with children, babies. But when you get older, you find it's hard to do, because you hear people say they get on their nerves. But you must cope with your own nerves in order to bear some burdens off another person. And that's why I go into nursing homes with them and sit down and just listen to them talk. And if you talk to them, it'll feel much better.
You said that you were involved in preschool?
Yeah, I worked at the preschool at Salem until it closed it down. And I found it was really joy of my life to work with the smaller group, because those children was trying to learn. And when they get a certain age, you can't tell them, because they figure they know it. But small children are anxious to learn. And now, not all of them now, but the majority of them think that they know.
Brother John, what day did the CCC start?
I can't remember what date it was, but it was a few years ago, quite a few years ago.
Did you help form the committee?
I was on the board from the beginning. Because when I see somebody trying to do something, I want to be with them. Just like the school system and the segregation and all of that, I was right there. When they started busing the children, I was there. When they didn't want to bus the children from McKinley, them babies had to cross McKinley Street, and that's a busy street. They had to cross the railroad track. I was right there.
What kind of things did you do for you with the preschool before it closed? What kind of things did you do with the children?
I wasn't an instructor. I just helped there because I had planned to go to the adult school. But then when I found out that they needed help there, then I went there. I was volunteered there. I volunteered with their help. And that was helping them with feeding, and I didn't prepare the food or nothing, but you know, see that they was eating it. And then I helped to put them to nap, helped to dress and things like that. Helped to get them ready for the parents to take them home. Just anything that was, that my instructor told me, who was Miss Betty Hassell. But it's so many different organizations out of there. I can't even think to call the names of them now. Because when the EOC was, I was right there. And I worked with the girls for a while over at St. Mary's. That was years ago though. Mm-hmm. And I also worked with the Girl Scouts way back in the 40s.
The Pride-West Association for Economic Development.
Huh?
How about the Pride-West Association for Economic Development?
Yeah, I was there too. Mm-hmm.
What's that committee?
We was planning for different things. The betterment of the neighborhood, children and things.
Can you tell us some stuff that the organization did specifically?
It planned for to the low income of people. They plan for housing and things for them. And we also would get together with the children that was having the problems in the school. And also we would, we got together on the Bradley Park. We saw that the people had better housing to live in, different things like that. Because the majority of the other people, they thought it was too close to the railroad track. But John Lee had them to understand that he was born down in that section of the town. And they didn't do anything about it then. And why is it that they didn't want to do something, you know, building houses down there? But I find out it has housed a many and a many person.
Mm-hmm.
your husband was on Air Force, I wondered, have you traveled a lot?
No, I didn't. He was only an instructor there at that Schumann Field. But he traveled from place to place. He went right around the state. You see, he also taught. He taught the students and the civilians, and he also taught the instructors there at Schumann Baptist. Because he made different parts of airplanes and things like that, you know. If they come up short on something, he could make them.
I want to, you know, talk a little bit about the past. You know, about Champagne and Bannon doing different time spans. You came here in 41, and...
Well, it was kind of difficult when I came here. By coming here, it was a smaller place, and two, the lights would go out at 12 o'clock at night, but I didn't know it. And so a couple of nights I was out. I went to mail some letters, my daughter and I, one night, and the lights went out when we was down on First and University. But the place to live here was very good for children, although it was prejudice here. And they had a saying, we have a right to seat our customers. When you went to eat places, you couldn't just go, you could go there and sit down, but then they could come and ask you to get up. Theaters were the same thing. You couldn't just go to a different section that you had to sit in. I was asked up in a theater, in the offering, I think it was. But I was asked in such a nice way, because I didn't think of no segregation, you know what I mean? I just went in and got a comfortable seat. So the usher came over and he told me, he said, I think it's better seating over here. I told him I was comfortable the way I was, you know, not getting back at him or nothing, but I wasn't thinking of no segregation. So then he came back to me again. And he told me if you go over there, you could go down further to the swamp. So I got up and moved. But the reason why he was asking me up, because that is a segregated part. That's where the white was sitting, and most of the black was sitting on it. And I had a opportunity to eat with one of the lawyers here, lived in Havana. He was very prejudiced, but his daughter-in-law was an Indian. His son had an Indian woman, which he couldn't stand. And she had told me about how everything was. And so when he invited me into this home, this lady, I forget her name just now, but she was the one that opened up the pool until I, you know, went forward to open it so black could go swim. Because, see, you couldn't just go there swim like you're swimming now.
What pool was it?
Why that pool?
Crystal Lake?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And so then they give them the last week, I think it was, in the term of swimming. And she couldn't stand it, but what hurt her so bad, she had bowed to the front, and then the black people wouldn't accept it. You know, they said, that's what we're going to do, we just won't get it. But she was, they didn't understand that she was paving a pathway for them, that the door would be open to them. But they didn't understand it. And so when we went into this home, well, I was sitting there talking, you know, I knew she had told me he was like that, but then he finished eating before anybody else and dismissed himself and left. And so then her daughter asked if my daughter could go to the theater with her. I refused because I knew my daughter, you know what I mean? She had been used to being around nobody but just her daddy and I, grown people, you know. And here she was in a strange place. She didn't have any fear. She wanted to go. But I wasn't thinking about no segregation or nothing. And when I went back in the kitchen, she asked me then, she said, this Indian lady, she said, Miss Jones said, please let her go. So whatever you do, said, please let her go just this time. So I let her go. And so when they left, then she came back and she told me, she said, Miss Jones, the reason why. See, I just wanted her to go to see what they would say to her in the theater. Because we had to go upstairs and sit, the black people, when the white people sit on the front seat. And so the girl didn't have any trouble at all. They didn't say not one word to her. They went on and sit on the main floor. But we did have it nice about the snow and stuff when I came here. They would have, I don't know, those were the city people. They had horses back in them days too. And they would clear off the street so that people could go to work. But now, I find it now, the snow can be a knee deep and ain't nobody gonna clean it off.
Yeah, I was wondering, how is the people, the black community, during the time of war? That was around the time you came here.
What you mean, how were they doing?
The reaction of the black community during the war. During the war time. I mean, how did they act? You know, were they anxious to go fight or?
Oh no, they weren't anxious to go fight. It is very hard for now when a person is going to the army or something, you just go and say goodbye. You know what I mean? And that's it. But then it was heartbreaking for them to go when I came up. Because see, my husband went overseas. He went to Ethiopia though. He wasn't in the service. But it was awful hard.
How was it during the time of Martin Luther King, the civil rights movement?
What did the people do?
Yeah. How was it around here, the community? How was the black community treated?
Well, it's segregation here now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's been all the time. But it was kind of quiet, you know, when that happened. Because everybody was so sad, you know. And a few white people talked to me about it, and they thought, you know, it was awful for me. But see, people don't understand what Martin Luther King was doing. If they could only understand that he was paving the way for us, our children right today, because they never would have been where they are if he hadn't have went forward, because he kept on telling them no violence. Didn't care what they would do. But as soon as his eyes was closed, you know, just plenty of violence.
Could you tell us some ways that Champaign Urbana has changed or haven't changed since?
It has really made a rapid change because when I came here, we only lived on the north end. Nobody lived, you know, way out like they live now. But I find out now, if you got the money, you live where you want to. You know, they might object of you living there, but I find out that for west, south, and east, the blacks are living there. But it used to, when I came here, if you said that you lived on North 4th Street, I knew some white yet live in this section, don't get me wrong, but you could just about know who they were. But now, if you told me somebody live over on Springfield or Kirtland, but you knew about who they were. You know.
Do you remember when everybody started, you know, the blacks and whites started moving anywhere? You know,
That's when they started the breaking down segregation. And then they began, you know, to live in different parts. Because the thing about it, when they began to break it down, you know, if in your school system, you had to have so many blacks in their classroom. It would be just a few of them, but they had to be there. And that's where the main conflict came about. Because so many didn't want their children to go with the black kids. And so many of the black mothers didn't want their children to go with the white kids. Don't get them wrong now.
How has the school changed for black children in the Champaign School?
Well, you see, it used to be that the black was just right around in this northern section, you know, that's as far as they went, that's right around here. But then they started busing them from different places, which was awful hard for some of the parents and awful also for some of the small kids. And it's yet hard for the small kids, you know, to be bused out like that.
Come on, today?
Mm-hmm, today. Mm-hmm.
Have you lived here?
No, when I first came here, it was awful hard to find a place. If you had one child, people didn't want to rent to you. And so I guarantee them if they would just only let me in their home, Mr. Aiden William and his wife, they opened their doors and let us come in, which they just only had quarters for themselves. And then I moved down on the north end, down on Tremont, did I live on Tremont? Eureka, I lived down on Eureka. And that's
Champaign.
That's Champaign. And 6 in Champaign, I guess. And see, before I came here, what made it so hard for me, I paid a month's rent before I came. And then just before time for the baby now to come down, the lady said that my husband had to pay another month's rent. That made us have to pay 2 months' rent in order for us to get here, but I didn't know it until after I got here. Because I'd have known that I wouldn't come under that condition, not having a place, you know. And so we only stayed there for a couple of few weeks. And then she said it was too crowded. And there wasn't no crowded thing when I rented the place, you know. So then that's when I moved down on Eureka. Miss Williams rented me her sister's house down here. So we lived there then until I moved to 480 East White Street. I stayed there until he had an apartment, until he wanted his apartment. Then I moved over right here on Church Street. 412 East Church, I got an apartment there. Then I moved from there here. And I said, when I move here, I said, Lord, I'm just really moving. Because I was tired. Because I had never moved before, no more than when I came to Chicago.
Have you lived on this one over the years? One last thing.
Say what?
If you had one wish in the world, what would you wish for, you know, Champaign, the area, what would you wish?
Well, see, I had a wish when I first came. My wish was that the university and the community here would come closer together.